welcome once again to another edition of what I call American Exposé. Listeners, tomorrow we have a very, very important broadcast. Dr. Boyd Graves will be on tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon to discuss and to expose the AIDS pandemic, listeners. Dr. Boyd Graves, he will be with us tomorrow. Today, right now, I have to give the floor to Reverend Ted Pike, as I promised to do so, because of the hate crimes legislation. And Reverend Pike, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Yes, sir.
Yes, we have a real crisis looming up in Congress now. As most of our listeners know by this time, the big federal hate bill, which we have all been resisting for the last year, passed the House of Representatives about a month ago. It went into the Senate Judiciary Committee, where no real action has been taken on it so far. But the disquieting reality about it in the judiciary is that the people who are for the hate bill outnumber the people who are against the hate bill by a majority of 12 to 10. And that includes two Republicans who have declared themselves in favor of the hate bill, including Arlen Specter, longtime pro-hate law advocate going clear back to the 1980s.
You know, people like him don't have a place in government, but he continues to be there.
Yeah, it's incredible, and that he should even call himself a Republican. I mean, he's the liberal of liberals like Kennedy and Daschle and all of that stripe. But what we are having to face into is the very real possibility that this hate bill will pass through the Senate Judiciary Committee. Now, there are some variables which I should mention, and that is that this bill can be defeated or passed by a quorum of only 10 members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And so what that means is if our side were up front and taking this very seriously, and we're absolutely sure that they would be there at the definitive meeting, then we could still prevail. On the other hand, if our Republican senators are not getting enough input from the people, and they don't get the impression that the people are taking it that seriously or it's that great a threat, they could go off to the Middle East or something that weekend and not be back in time to be present at that a hearing of the Senate Judiciary Committee. So what this does is it underscores the extreme importance of everyone right now calling. What I'm suggesting is we call all 55 members, that is the Republican members of the entire Senate. And what this will do is automatically get to the offices of these Republican members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. You see, what we have to do, folks, is we have to brace ourselves now for a fight on the floor of the Senate over this whole issue. We have to wake up, raise the level of consciousness and concern of our Republicans in the Senate so that they will stand to their feet and protest and demand that this bill be looked into and discussed and debated and so on. And this, of course, is something the liberals, the pro-hate forces, do not want to happen. But we have to get ready now for possible passage in the Senate Judiciary and prepare for battle on the floor of the Senate.
We'll be back with Reverend Ted Pike. After that happens, it'll go to the president's desk to sign. And will he be happy? Then it shuts everyone up, apparently. We'll be back to continue with the broadcast with Reverend Ted Pike, listeners. The beat goes on. The connecting of the dots is vital. And this is the right time to be connecting dots. We'll be right back.
I cry for my country, for the pain that it's been through. She's been made to suffer for the profit of a few.
And welcome back to the broadcast, listeners. Reverend Ted Pike, please continue, sir.
The only strategy that's ahead of us right now, in my opinion, we have basically saturated the Senate Judiciary Committee with perhaps thousands of calls in there. What we need to do now is turn our attention to educating, contacting the 55 Republican members of the Senate. The Democrats are pretty much sold out in favor of hate legislation, And the way to do that, folks, is to come to my website, which is www.truthtellers.org. That's www.truthtellers.org, and you will find the list printed out on the home page of these 55 Republican members of the Senate. Now, there's a toll-free number which is operational at least of today. Sometimes they cancel them. It's 888-355-3588. Again, that toll-free number to the Republican senators is 888-355-3588. Now, in case that's canceled, there is a toll number, the standard Capitol hotline, which is 202-225-3121. That's 202-225-3121. Now, call this toll-free free number, and you only have to make one call. You'll print out the 55 Republican members of the Senate, and then you just go down the list. You tell the Capitol operator you want to go, for example, to Senator Orrin Hatch's office, and you deliver an extremely simple message there. It says, please don't approve the hate bill S-1145. Please don't approve the hate bill S-1145. That's all you have to say, but don't hang up. Then you go down, let's say, to Charles Grassley will be next, and she will either route you immediately off to that or send you back to the switchboard. Anyway, both of them will in a pleasant manner, send you on to the next senator, and you can sit there for the next 20 minutes and call all 55 members of the Senate. And I'm getting emails now of people who are doing this today, who have already done it. They've found it a painless way to stand up for their First Amendment rights and make sure, absolutely sure, that we don't let the ball fumble and establish a federal anti-hate bureaucracy in America, eventually identical to Canada's, where it's illegal to have these kind of discussions we are having on the air today.
And this is just a natural course of progression in totalitarian countries. I mean, obviously, this is the way it's coming into place. It's been, look at how people are shut off in communist China now. They control the internet. They're about to take over and outsource the voice of America to communist China. Can you believe that, Reverend Pike?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I'm hearing from quite a few people, and others are hearing from others who say, well, we've gone and we've read this hate bill. We've read 1145. We got it off a government website. We don't find any great conspiracy here. Mm. And we've heard from our congressman or our senator, and they say, oh, no, this is just a very benign bill dedicated to providing federal assistance to the states or Indian tribes in their fight against violent hate crimes. And people are baffled. But what you have to do, folks, is come again to truthtellers.org, and I have a couple of very simple two-page articles there, but very dynamic, very incisive and well-documented. There's one called Don't Be Hoodwinked by Hate Bill 1145. And there's another one there on the homepage. Federal hate bill means funeral for free speech. Read these two articles carefully so that you can be clued in to the legalese and the obscure language and the evasiveness of this legislation. Go back and read the federal hate bill again if you'd like, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Have all the documentation there. And here's another thing you can do, a very powerful contribution to freedom. You see, these members of the Congress in the House and Senate are incredibly ignorant about what has happened in Canada taking away free speech, even what happened in Philadelphia last October 10th, where these 11 Christians were arrested for the hate crime of preaching in the public square against homosexuality. Take these two articles, the one or the other, and email these. You can go to your search engine and just type in the name, for example, of Orrin Hatch. Immediately you'll be at his website, and they'll have a form there for you to paste in these articles. Send these articles to all 55 Senate members, Republican members, and their staffers will read them. They'll suddenly they'll have truth and light about this whole mysterious subject of the hate crimes law that they have never had before. You see, this is so vital now. We have to get some senators educated. We got to build up some heat, because what the enemy is planning on doing is slipping this bill through the Senate, as they have, they did 15 months ago, when it was voted in 65-33. That was later overturned in conference, but 65-33 was the vote in favor of the hate bill 15 months ago. They want to do that again, and we have got to educate the Republican senators concerning the fact, so that they'll have some spine, they'll have some backbone and courage to stand up on the floor of the Senate and say, hey, wait a minute now, we want to discuss this bill, we want to look into its ramifications. If we can get some discussion and even perhaps a filibuster on the floor of the Senate, then there's real hope that we can block this bill.
Now, this is very, very vital and important. I don't know whether you've seen the movie Reverend Pike or not, America with a K.
No, I haven't.
That was a Kris Kristofferson movie, and it was about the Sovietization of America, the Soviet takeover, the Soviet invasion of America. And when Congress did not go along with the Soviet agenda, they had a black operation project in Congress. They closed all the exits. They brought their MK-47s, and they blew away everyone in Congress. They just shot them dead. Someday, this will happen. I guarantee it. Someday this will happen.
Yes, well, there's a...
AK-47 is what it is, not an MK. AK-47, excuse me. Kalashnikov is the proper word for the gun. But the bottom line is, someday this will happen if we don't stand up now, because time is extremely late. They continue to make laws, they continue to pass laws, and each law that gets passed is more and more intrusive on the people of this country.
Yes, and the people behind this, which of course is the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, are master propagandists. They're master creators of evasive legislation that's made to slither through Congress like a slippery eel. And that's exactly what happened in the House of Representatives a month ago, where this bill went through, I understand, in only 45 minutes. And what we have here is increments, creeping socialism, creeping tyranny, and people say, well, it's not right up front. They're not telling us that they want to take over the country and end free speech, so what's the problem?
Why would they?
People are incredibly naive, and they don't understand the deviousness of these master architects of deception that are behind this legislation. So come to truthtellers.org. You will find the 55 Republican members of the Senate there conspicuously on the front page. Read these articles and call these toll-free number and the poll number. Let me give that to you again. That toll-free number is 888-355-3588. Again, the toll-free number to your 55 Republican members of the Senate, 888-355-3588. Again, the backup number is 202-225-3121. And to start at the top of the list, tell them, please, don't vote for hate bill S-1145. Please don't vote for hate bill S-1145. You don't need to tell them any more than that. They'll know exactly what you're talking about.
As we go to commercial pause, listen carefully to this. This bill empowers the federal government to assume control of local hate crimes law enforcement and establishes unity between federal and local law enforcement, thus creating the beginnings of a police state. This enables the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, creator of this legislation, to enforce nationally the kind of persecution against Christians which their National Executive Board member, Philadelphia District Attorney Lynn Abraham, enforced locally against 11 Christians on October 10th of 2004. Preaching at a gay pride rally, they were arrested for violation of ADL's Pennsylvania hate law. Possible penalties, 47 years in prison and $90,000 in fines each. Mercifully, the case against them was thrown out by a higher court. So here we are with this situation coming at us, S-1145, but all the other legislation that we're not hearing about, the more intrusive legislation that comes from there. When does the line get drawn where we don't need lawmakers anymore, Reverend Pike?
Well, I think right now what we have to keep it paramount in our perspective is that if we lose free speech, all of our other rights and freedoms will go down the drain. Free speech is the kingpin, the crucial determiner of freedom radiating out. It's the hub of the wheel, and all our other freedoms radiate from that. And so right now, I think what we have to do is we have to block the ADL again. Yes, they have a host of other legislative agendas behind the scenes. They'll keep, they're an octopus, and they will continue to pump out this legislative sewage as long as they are able to stay in the shadows in the Senate and the House office buildings, bribing and bamboozling the congressmen.
Yes. Okay, Reverend Pike, we can do a little bit more if you want to.
Sure.
Okay, let's continue to the bottom of the hour. Then we'll have William Roberts with us, and stay with us to continue the broadcast. Listeners, we're back with Reverend Pike. The real goal of S 1145 is to grant permission to the federal government to control local civil rights law enforcement. And the federal government intrusion into the states, it's been going on for decades. And here we are at the sunset of the freedom of our country.
Yes, we are. And in fact, we are more close to passage of this bill than many of us would dream. I've been battling it for 5-6 years now, and I was just talking to Representative Conyers' office. John Conyers of Michigan is the one who introduced it into the House of Representatives last month, and they say they are confident that they can have the whole thing wrapped up in a couple of weeks from now. Now, there are no hearings planned this week in the Senate Judiciary Committee. Their hearings are rather sporadic and sometimes unpredictable. But what we have to do is take this tiny window of advantage and opportunity to blanket the 55 members, the Republican members of the Senate, with our calls. And again, that toll-free number is 888-355-3588. That's 888-355-3588. Come to www.truthtellers.org, and you can print out those 55 senators, start calling them, go from office to office. About 20, 25 minutes, you will have done a great service for the future of freedom and of your children.
Oh, by all means. We're on the chopping block right now. The guillotine is there, and I'm very upset at the way things have turned. And only been going on for years, coming to this conclusion. And vital that you get involved, listeners, with your phones. 888-355-3588. That's 888-355-3588. And the toll number, 202-225-3121. 202-225-3121. Reverend Pike, a closing statement do you have?
Well, if we look up into Canada, we see through a telescope of exactly where we are going to be in a few years, where it's illegal to criticize homosexuality in public, it's illegal to criticize matters Jewish or matters Zionist in Canada today, and where Christians and free speech advocates can face harsh fines and imprisonment for such so-called hate crimes. Now, the same people who established the hate laws in Canada, Sweden, Germany, Australia, etc., are the same people who are behind this bill. They don't care about the rights, the hate crimes on Indian reservations and all this nonsense. That's not why they're pushing that. They have a long-term objective. This bill is carefully crafted to bring in an Orwellian bureaucracy in the United States with the ADL like a puppeteer pulling the strings from Washington, D.C., sending out indictments like they did in Philadelphia last year all around the country against talk show hosts, free speech advocates, anti-war dissenters, and pastors from the pulpits, even pro-lifers. It's terribly, terribly frightening. And this is our moment of opportunity, folks, to make your voice heard. Go to truthtellers.org. Send these powerful articles. Let's saturate Congress with some truth and light so they can have some real backbone to stand up in the Senate in the weeks to come.
Wonderful, Reverend Pike. I appreciate it. And this is the bottom line. This is the bottom line of the situation at this point in time. You've got to make those phone calls. And I appreciate your time, Reverend Pike.
Thanks so much for having me, Chris.
My privilege. Reverend Ted Pike, listeners, and those phone numbers, 888-355-3588. That's 888-355-3588, 202-225-3121. Very, very vital. Tomorrow, we have Dr. Boyd Graves with us. Momentarily, we'll get William Roberts with us. But tomorrow, Dr. Boyd Graves will be exposing the AIDS pandemic and how the creation of that came about. And I appreciate all of you listeners, all of you emailers, recommending we put this gentleman on. It's vital. Vital information. Connecting dots to creation of problems, the Hegelian dialectic to bring about the resulting destruction of freedom and loss of life. We've covered on a regular basis weather modification and environmental modification. I have not looked at the paper today. I don't know what's there. I haven't even been on my website yet. And Dennis's tremendous information. I have not been there. We will get there right now. We'll get to the website. We'll connect these dots that are going on. But tomorrow, a vital broadcast, Dr. Boyd Graves, who has connected many dots to the AIDS pandemic. And you can go to BoydGraves.com. That's BoydGraves.com. And you can learn about that situation. And I do appreciate you that have connected this dot for me to understand what's going on here. Because this is very, very important to connect the dots. The Earth Charter Initiative is on the website. You need to learn about this. And much, much more. The Lasker Foundation, the United Nations Association of the United States. We'll be back and connect the dots with William Roberts. Stay with us. Apparently, I'm going to be losing the show. I don't have the money for shortwave. Never did. And if you want to save this show, listeners, you have to call in and make your pledges right now because we're going to lose the show. And so you call the pledge line at the studio, 800-724-2719, 800-724-2719. And if you want to support it, fine. We'll continue. We may not even have Dr. Boyd Graves on tomorrow. So, William Roberts is with us today, and welcome to the broadcast, Will.
Well, thanks for inviting me back again, Chris, and it's just typical of the way that this Orwellian police state, if you want to style it, is revisiting history, the Ted Pike's impassioned plea there to wake the folks up. Remember that we're going back here into a period of the Inquisition, and that this is, you know, I could ask maybe the next 20 people I meet on the street if they knew anything about the Inquisition. Some might have some foggy idea of repression or torture or something like that. But who would be able to tell you that it ran from about the 1200s up until 1834, just 170 years ago, we were still having problems in Spain with this Inquisitional inquisitorial type of tribunals that would interfere or interdict in the lives of individuals based upon what they thought or what they might feel in their heart. And we have reverted back. We're heading back. This rabid dog, the ADL, and the Morrissey's or Sleaze or however you look at him, these kinds of groups are trying to throw us back into this system where with the feudal overlord of the federal government and the hate police or the thought police, we're revisiting past times that I had never thought that we would actually come to. I thought that we were moving forward, but apparently we're not.
Well, here we see immigrants are rushing to New Orleans as contractors fight for workers from the apparently this is the Times, the L.A. Times, for that matter, dated to the, October 10th. We see migration coming to the country. Migration is a result of the U.N. system and Agenda 21. And this is vital that people understand this, and yet most don't. But here we are with foreigners coming in to rebuild New Orleans when we need jobs in America. Outsourcing of American jobs has been going on for a very long time. And here people are working to get jobs from other countries, especially Mexico. And lured by jobs paying $15 to $17 an hour, the Spanish-speaking day laborers have flooded into New Orleans to haul out debris, clear down trees, put in drywall, and perform other tasks as rebuilding takes hold in the city. And they say here specialized roofers make $300 a day. Well, the point is that we're in this system. It's a U.N. system. It's designed this way. The Secretary of the Treasury, U.S. Governor of the IMF, of the U.N. Well, when you connect that dot to the Treasury Department, and then you see how the U.S. Coast Guard in Homeland Security, and you see how they're being militarized, and you see how this is building up this Homeland Security, and then they want to make FEMA separate from Homeland Security. What difference does it make, William? What difference does it make at this point? It's all federal intrusion into the states.
I think it's global intrusion into the nations, because this concept, as you mentioned this morning, you know, about this hate crime legislation coming through, this is the uniformity of laws or the uniformitarianism that has been building for the last 140 years, that we're going towards this place where all of the laws around the planet will be just exactly the same, and all of the peoples will be the same. And the idea that you can withdraw the ignorant and the lazy Americans from New Orleans and then bring in those industrious and hardworking Mexicans and give them wages that the people in New Orleans haven't had access to for 50 years, should it be any surprise when we have this kind of legislation coming down after reading the Agenda 21?
And well stated on that basis, because here we are connecting dots to what's being developed for us. And what did you do? You ordered the Agenda 21 document from the U.N. system.
That's right. You can get the book. It's very very informative. And when you do get it, you'll start to be surprised, just as I was, at how little this thing actually says. But anybody that's listening out there, I'll give you a 1-800 number for the United Nations publications at 1-800-253-9646. That's 1-800-253-9646. They will take credit cards, and you can ask for their publication 92-1-100-509-4. That's publication 92-1-100-509-4, and it's $25 plus shipping and handling. You can also get the UN operator just direct at 212-963-1234. That's 212-963-1234. And when you get this orange-covered document and start reading through it, you'll get a lot of information, but you'll find very little authorship. No one wants to step up to the plate. No one assumes any responsibility. And there are almost, well, there is no glossary of terms. They have a list of acronyms. But we find in it that as we move further into this new agenda here, the Agenda 21, all of the laws around the world are going into this meaningless zone about what is sustainable for the individual and the environment of the economic individual, and meaningless dadaism that is endless. But understanding logical positivism, as the listeners of this broadcast are beginning to, we can understand that this is intentional obfuscation. There's no way that you can attack these documents on scientific or credible grounds, because they're neither scientific nor credible. Which, with Reverend Pike's impassioned plea here, this is just an opening door. Going into the hate crimes system is just a beginning scenario of, like he said, this Orwellian thought police crime, where we have tribunals. Now, in the Inquisition, these tribunals were appointed. Does that sound familiar?
No.
If someone was found guilty of heresy or contumace or obstinate behavior or belief, they were just yielded over to the civil courts for punishment, and judicial torture for eliciting evidence was in common use at the time. And this process continued for hundreds of years. And it wasn't just whether or not someone agreed or disagreed with a biblical precept or a canon of the church. They were able to use this system of inquisitorial persecution and sanction for just about anything, from a drop of a handkerchief on out to murder or some other capital crime.
Well, here we see from the New York Times, the military is developing a proposal to organize an active duty force that could respond quickly to assist relief efforts in the event of natural disasters. There we go, the militarization of our country as a result of natural disasters, William.
Well, you know, there. If you look at the natural disasters as I do, I don't have the breadth of the research that you have, Chris. And so I look at things like a tornado that comes blasting through Missouri. And when I get high winds and everything in the yard goes blowing across and smashes into the bluff behind me, basically I do the same thing that my father or the ancestors would do. You roll up your sleeves and you go out and you start picking up the stuff and cleaning up and basically digging yourself out. I remember in Alaska, where I grew up, in 1967, I believe it was, there was a very large flood. And it wiped out the little rental house that we had. It had a crib wall basement under it, and the walls caved in because the hydrostatic pressure outside the walls forced against these wooden crib walls, and so it collapsed. And we went in and jacked the house up. My father had full-time work as a pilot. We were all the boys that were down there, and we just worked and worked all summer long, dug out that basement and held the house up and put in a concrete block wall. And I'm confident there was not a dime or a minute of assistance from any place.
Well, and here we are with people with mortgages, people with car payments, with destroyed automobiles and homes. How are they going to survive?
Well, it's not going to be easy. But as Ludwig von Mises said in his book on socialism, it's like being pregnant. You can't be a little bit socialist. You're either into the socialist process where you're looking for grants and aid from the federal. You're either asking Peter, you know, to rob Paul to give you something, or you're not. And so we need to embrace how far down this socialist pathway we've come and start to ask ourselves, why are we looking outside instead of looking at ourselves again? It wasn't long ago. In fact, it was in the early, late 1800s, early 1900s, that the whole idea of charity started to fade away, and we started looking through even into the early parts of the FDR administration that the government would even expect to hand out social welfare, you know. So
right.
The concept of what should they do? Well, they would do what anybody else does. I'm afraid I lost my car to a tornado, or I'm afraid I lost my car in a flood, and that's the end of my car. Now I'm going to have to pay off that thing and, you know, do what I can do. But the idea of insurance, that's why I mentioned on a previous broadcast with you, Chris, is that the insurance lobby here, I'm sure, is looming large in Washington, D.C. They don't want to have to pay off these debts, and they don't want to have to bear this burden. So they're going to be in the bread line in Washington, D.C., looking for some relief, just as Lloyd's of London was after the live burning sacrifice in, visited on New York City on September the 11th. So the concept of, well, what are they going to do with these cars? They're going to be stuck. And as mentioned before, I think it's October the 17th, just now a week or so away, this new bankruptcy laws are going to go into effect. And remember, we went through this before. I think it was 1934 or 5 or somewhere in there that there was a home loan organization or act that was passed to help the people that were behind and losing their mortgages during the Depression. You see, so it's circular. If we don't study our history, we don't understand what's happening to us today. But there is hope. We can get busy and figure out, you know, where we've come from. And maybe, just maybe, we can look into the future a few years and find some place of redress.
There you go. We have a caller. Let's bring up that caller. Welcome to the broadcast.
Chris?
Yes.
Yes. I'm calling. I love your show, and I hope it stays on. I think it's the best thing on the radio. And I agree with William and everything, but I object to his analogy to the Spanish Inquisition.
Well, let me ask you one thing. Why do you like my show so much?
Because I've learned so much from it. Because you're intelligent and you're kind, and you do let people speak. And unless they're just absolutely ridiculous, you mm-hmm. object to them. But you give everyone a fair chance, and it's very, very interesting.
Well, do you consider this show vital to the network?
I definitely do. I definitely do.
Okay.
I've learned so much from you.
I appreciate that. Continue with your thoughts.
The only objection I have, and I agree with everything William's saying, but I think he swallowed a lie. There was a BBC documentary that came out some time ago. It was called The Myth of the Spanish Inquisition. And they pretty much came down to, and I have a quote from it, at the time, you know, the Protestants and the Catholics weren't getting along, and the Protestants were able to fight a new type of war. The polemic needed a focus, and so the Inquisition was chosen as a focus of the propaganda campaign, and a myth was in the making. And they go through systematically how all the courts of the time, actually the Inquisition was the most fair, but the English and the Dutch at that time wanted to make Spain look bad. And they wanted to bring it down, and this was the way they did it. It was a propaganda war, early PR, you know. So I just wanted to bring that up.
William, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's interesting. I didn't see the BBC broadcast. I would want to see that and then compare those notes. It's an interesting point. You do make an important tie because when you bring England into the mix, Then we're starting to understand the power structures that were at play in Europe and what the idea behind the rise as of Spain as the new world, you know, was being opened up, and the Inquisition as a system. But as far as whether it would be downplayed, I would have to ask any of the 50 or 60,000 people that were killed and tortured to death by the Inquisitors how they felt about that and whether they thought that was, you know, not persecution.
Well,
I'd say, William, is give it a fair chance because there are professors on the other side who are bringing to the forefront today. And, of course, we come from an English-based background. I mean, even growing up, I know all of the movies I'd see, you know, you had the English actors, and it was all English. We speak English. I'm an English teacher.
Yeah.
And we have this sort of mentality, but there's another side. And we have not been presented this other side. And I think the BBC was really, it was meritorious that they went and really went through Europe and looked. And I can send you a booklet if I can get your address later off of here.
Sure, I'll give it if Chris would allow it later on. I'll give you the post office box.
Why don't you give it out right now?
All right.
Are you ready to write?
I'm ready, Chris.
Go ahead.
Sure, anyone that wants to get any of the material that I might be able to offer to you, you can write me at my post office box. It's William Roberts, and it is Post Office Box 10, and it is in Rocky Comfort, two words, Rocky Comfort, Missouri, and the zip code is 84861.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I misspoke. It's 64861.
Okay.
64861.
Okay, run that by us one more time.
Sure, it's
William.
Post Office Box 10, Rocky Comfort, Missouri, M-O, 64861.
861. All right.
And I enjoy mail, and I generally respond to your letters right away.
All right, well, thanks so much. And Chris, please stay on the air, please.
Well, that is up to the management. You
I
have to talk to them. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye now.
Bye now. We'll be back to wrap up this hour of American Exposé with William Roberts and your phone calls, 800-313-9443. On with the news. Stay with us. Broadcast. Here we see dated October 11th, trying to track who's getting what portion of the billions of dollars in federal Hurricane Katrina aid is enough to give any auditor a headache and is a problem that critics say creates alarming gaps in public oversight. Well, we have a monster bureaucracy here. And by the way, we have Dr. Ward Dean. I've alerted him. And Vitamin Research Products in hopes of sponsoring this broadcast, but it could be gone as early as tomorrow, listeners. So that is not my decision, and I made the move over here not knowing I was going to have to pay for shortwave, and I never would have left where I came from. Otherwise, that's just the way it is, listeners. So I'm just stating the facts, people. With this mega bureaucracy, William, here we have money being doled out for different directions of rebuilding a state that has been devastated, and yet we know environmental modification is a reality.
That's right.
It's never discussed.
That's right. It's not. And right after the event, if you recall, Chris, I called in just as a casual caller on the air, and I was talking about the rewilding map that I was looking at, and that entire area down there is all shaded in red as being an area where human habitation just is not going to be allowed.
Now, you're not the only one that has made that statement.
Well, I would hope not. I would hope that map has made the circulation. Certainly, it was created over a number of years based on good quality research that this would be representative of what will actually be coming down.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we understand what the long-term plan is, and then look at the past in various places in Europe and in England and in Scotland, where there have been forcible removals of large bodies of people from their land, and then that land is turned over to others. If we look at the history as think of New Orleans as a national historic site, or a theme park, then there you could visualize like something like a Branson springing up there around the French Quarter and on the higher land, and the rest of it's just going to go back to nature. But what strikes me the most about this rebuilding effort, this $280 billion, a B with a B for billion dollars, which is an astronomical number to be dipping into, the public coffers. It reminds me, though, so much of Credit Mobilier and the scam that went around that with the construction of the Union Pacific Railroad. The idea of expanding the infrastructure, whether it be by a canal like the Suez Canal or the Panama Canal or the Erie Canal, and the canals in Madrid, other canals made in Europe. But the idea of stagecoach routes, turnpikes, railroads, all of this followed after Henry St. Simon and the St. Simonians in the early 1800s came up with the idea of building combinations, public-private partnerships, where private corporations and private banking houses would introduce social legislation and sell it to the administration of the day, who would then in turn sell it to the people. The people would underwrite the project, and they would stand as the risk. They would bear the entire risk of the endeavor. And as in the case of the first Panama Canal, when it was not able to go through, then the people that had invested in that corporation simply lost their money, but the developer was absolved.
We'll be back to continue with William Roberts into the second hour of the broadcast called American Exposé. Go to the website, Dennis's website, AmericanExposé.com. We'll be right back.